other ways in which we can leverage our power. Of course, that doesn't mean we give up on politics, but we also need to be realistic about the way in which the tide is flowing at this particular moment in time. And that's my personal view.
A very good point to end on. Thank you very much to both my guests, and thank you at home as well. But that's all we have time for on this edition of the show. But don't worry, we'll be back next week for another edition of Eye on Islam. Assalamu alaikum for now.
In the limelight.
The Nakba didn't end in 1948. It continues to impact Palestinians daily. Nakba Day serves as a reminder that until there is an end to the Zionist regime's occupation, there can be no hope for peace. In this regard, we have taken a look at world media websites and news agencies for further details. Stay tuned for the second part, please. Throughout this regard, commenting on the recent elections, Israeli journalist Gideon Levy wrote in Haaretz that the aftermath of the elections have shown that Israeli society has become partly religious and largely racist, with hatred of Arabs being its main fuel, with no one to stand against it. While the Zionist regime continues invading Palestinian cities and killing Palestinians daily, in the United States, there is no outcry or condemnation from the Biden administration whatsoever. On the contrary, the U.S. rewards the Zionist regime with $3.8 billion in taxpayer dollars annually and demands zero accountability for its behavior in return. Congress's overwhelming silence and fear of criticizing the Israeli regime makes it complicit in the ongoing suffering of Palestinians. The U.S. has become the top enabler of Israel's systematic segregation and discrimination against the population on the basis of race. It was hardly surprising to learn that as the Zionist regime rained missiles on Gaza during Operation Shield and Arrow, Secretary of State of the United States Antony Blinken, Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin, and National Security Advisor Jake Sullivan rushed to proclaim their support for the Zionist regime's, as they claim, right to defend itself. Last month, U.S. House Speaker Kevin McCarthy, House Minority Leader Hakeem Jeffries, and Florida Governor Ron DeSantis all visited the occupied territories of Palestine to pledge allegiance to the Zionist regime. Before them, Blinken visited the occupied territories of Palestine and reaffirmed the U.S. ironclad support for the Zionist regime, which recently voted in the most fascist, extremist, far-right government in its history. In his speech, Blinken referred to the U.S. special relationship with the Zionist regime that is rooted in shared values. Similarly, during his last visit to the occupied territories of Palestine, President Joe Biden was eager to show unshakable support for the architects of this inhumane and cruel policy of apartheid and denial of Palestinian rights. All of these actions enable the Zionist regime's crimes to go on without any recourse, punishment, or accountability. International human rights organizations, including Amnesty International and Human Rights Watch, have issued extensive reports that included that the Zionist regime practices apartheid. United Nations Special Rapporteur on Human Rights in the Occupied Palestinian Territory, Francesca Albanese, has come under vicious attacks following her report highlighting the Zionist regime, settler colonialism, and apartheid. Palestinians continue to be colonized. Palestinian lands continue to be confiscated for illegal settlement building. Palestinian family members continue to be separated from one another by walls. Palestinian communities continue to be forcibly displaced. Palestinian homes continue to be demolished. Palestinian farmers' olive trees continue to be uprooted. Palestinian children continue to be terrorized and killed by IDF. Palestinian refugees continue to be exiled. And Palestinian living inside the occupied territories continue to be discriminated against, with the complicity of its greatest ally, the U.S. regime. Israel has not only continued but has intensified its inhumane policies and violations of international law. It's hard for Palestinians to not feel helpless when they are subjected to these massive injustices for so long. But they have shown tremendous resilience and are inspired by the collective support of people in the global community and the many gains achieved by the growing boycott, divestment, and sanctions movement. The magnitude of global solidarity with Palestinians shows that people, especially the younger generation, are no longer looking away. While fear and intimidation tactics by Israeli lobby groups have worked with elected officials, they have failed to gain support on the public level, especially among young Jews. Today, Palestinians have more support from people around the world than ever before, as we have seen exhibited during the FIFA World Cup and the scenes of the ever-present Palestinian flag held by supporters throughout the tournament. But while the public discourse is changing, the opposite is taking place in the Republican-controlled U.S. Congress. Recently, U.S. House Speaker McCarthy blocked Representative Rashida Tlaib from hosting an event at the Capitol commemorating the Nakba. Despite McCarthy's attempts, the event went ahead anyway, moved to a Senate office room thanks to Senator Bernie Sanders, who was able to secure a new venue in the Dirksen Senate Office Building, where McCarthy has no justification. The Nakba Day did not end in 1948. It continues to impact Palestinians everywhere daily. A Nakba Day 75 serves as an important reminder that until there is an end to the occupation, until Palestinians get justice, freedom, and equal rights, and until the Zionist regime adheres to international law, there can be no hope for peace. Also, according to Crescent International, civil rights movements dedicated to justice for Palestine have increased the tempo to isolate the Zionist regime. Support from trade unions, media commentators, political pundits, academics, and a few courageous political parties in parliament is evidence of the deep-felt outrage against apartheid Israel. When and what is required to end Zionist settler colonialism are key questions as commemoration events mark 75 years of ethnic cleansing, occupation, and incremental genocide, and Nakba. Given that the heart of Palestinian resistance is located in and around Masjid al-Aqsa in occupied Al-Quds, revered by the global Muslim community as Islam's sacred citadel, liberation of Palestine remains connected to its inviolability. Armed struggle within the belly of the beast in the occupied West Bank has emerged as a focal point of resistance that not only has galvanized armed resistance in the rest of 1948 Palestine, but also inspired millions across the world. The storming of Al-Aqsa and ruthless violence against women, children, and the elderly engaged in worship during Ramadan by heavily armed Zionist troops met with a barrage of rockets fired not only from Gaza, but also from South Lebanon, Syria, to the shock and awe of the fabricated regime of Israel.
Selection of Ayatollah Khamenei's viewpoints.
It guides us through life. It has taught us everything. We should learn and appreciate what it gives us. And try to apply them to our daily lives. How is it possible? By means of Quran.
این خوندن قرآن و تلاوت قرآن قدم اول است برادران من این قدم آخر نیست
Reading and recitation of the Quran is the first step brothers not the last one
هو الذی ارسل رسوله بالهدى ودین
It is he who has sent his apostle with the guidance and the religion of truth that he may make it prevail over all religions though the polytheists should be averse
والذي ارسل رسوله بالهدى ودين الحق ليظهره على الدين كله ولو كره المشركون
تلاوت قرآن با صوت خوش با آداب که شیوه خاصی دارد موسیقی خاصی دارد روش خاصی دارد
Recitation of the Quran in nice tones should be performed according to particular methods and tones. But it's not enough.
مشکل بزرگ مسلمانان دنیا دوری از قرآن.
Muslim's major problem is losing touch with the Quran. Quran. کتاب الله.
IRIB English Radio presents Viewpoints.
Viewpoints.
With the presence of different scholars.
IRIB English Radio.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum, dear listeners. This is IRIB English Radio. You're listening to the program of Viewpoints. I am Bita, the host of today's episode, and here with me there are two dear guest speakers, Brother Ali and Brother Hassanin. Assalamu alaikum, brothers.
Alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah.
So I'm going to start the episode of today with one of the beautiful quotes from Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him. من أخذ للمظلوم من الظالم كان معي في الجنة مصاحبا. Whoever takes the right of the oppressed from the oppressor, whether the oppressed is a Muslim or a non-Muslim, will be with me in paradise or heaven. As you know, we see the Palestinian people that are in a condition that are oppressed. Despite this oppression, they are so powerful that we can take a lot of lessons as we talked about this point in the last episodes. And the thing and the point is that we have responsibility here towards the people who are oppressed, whether they are Muslim or non-Muslim. So in this episode, we're going to talk about these responsibilities they have, we have, and all of the parties involved here. And at first, we're going to start with the responsibilities of the Palestinian people themselves. What are their responsibilities and what they should do? So, Brother Hassanein, I'm all ear for your explanation.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. So, the responsibility, when you talk about the responsibility, the first thing that comes, the main responsibility is for Palestinians to resist.
Yeah.
So, and thankfully, they have been resisting so far. So, these martyrdom operations are the peak of the resistance. You see people being martyred. So, the fact that a man, a youth, a boy, a girl is prepared to sacrifice his or her life for the sake of the religion and national interest is the peak of honor and bravery. So when you see this, when you resist for your country and when you resist your faith and your religion, so this fears the enemy. So when you show your resistance, this will dull the will of the enemies. So this will, weaken the enemy when you fight back. So this is the first one. Like, we need this, this resistance is a must. So, not fearing and just fighting back.
Thank you. So, Brother Ali, do you have anything to add?
Yeah. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Allah's peace and blessings be upon the Holy Prophet of Islam, Muhammad, and his purified progeny. I can define some two or three responsibilities for the people inside the Palestine or the Palestinian brothers and sisters, and then some responsibilities for the Islamic Ummah and neighboring countries from the Islamic countries. But now we are focusing on the responsibilities of the Muslims inside the Palestine. They definitely will approve me in this statement that most of them understood the uselessness of peace talks. So anything that creates division among them should be refrained from, should be avoided. Mm-hmm. So we have seen that such tricks have to be refrained and avoided anymore. I mean, they should go only for the sake of unity. And in case there are some people inside them that they are going to cause or even sow the seeds of discord, they have to actually remove them from their own societies. So because unity is the first and foremost thing that they are in need of, unity. They have to keep their unity best. Second, they have found and actually tasted the beauty of muqawama and resistance. So they have to go for it. I mean, they have to keep on their muqawama and their resistance. They understood that when they step forward, even for one single step, the other enemy, I mean, the opposite side, that is the enemy, will go back and withdraw for 10 steps, you see? And it has been seen and witnessed in reality. So it's good for them to know that muqawama is something that has has an end. They have to, I think, continue and keep and strengthen their maqam and resistance in front of the Israeli land. Next point that I want to, I understand it as, duty of the brothers and sisters in Palestine is to keep their cautiousness with the issues that they have inside them. When enemy actually finds that this unity is forming and it is going to find itself, they will definitely do some issues and among them.
Try to break it.
They will try to divide them. Yeah. They have to be cautious inside themselves to be watchful on whatever goes inside their communities and their assemblies and their events. Recently, we have seen a video that a lady was penetrating inside the Islamic communities in Palestine, and she was a famous, or let's say a professional spy of Israel. So she actually penetrated with an Arabic language, with a decent Arabic language, and then she pretended that she is, let's say, a mujahid. Mm-hmm. And at the same time, she was reporting all the activities of the Muslims to the other side. So unity, refraining from any disunity, and to take lessons from the previous peace talks, not to again get entrapped by these peace talks, by these useless peace talks, and keeping their cautiousness and be cautious on whatever is around them. And Allah's promise, inshallah, will definitely happen. Allah says, "La yansuranna Allah man yansura, inna Allah laqawiyyun aziz." If they will do and they will care for all these steps, and Allah's promise is always in its place. I mean, we have never seen any breaking of the promise from Allah's side. If we have experienced it in our country. Whenever we were depending on ourselves, that is, we believed in our power, in our abilities and capabilities, by the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we progressed.
Right.
But whenever we actually put our efforts towards west or east, we have seen the result. At the time of before this revolution, King of Shah Iran, before this revolution, and also after revolution in the governments that we had, some of them actually were twisting towards west, some other toward east. And we see that the times that we were standing on our own feet, we have seen the results.
Exactly.
So we need to trust Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and to find our self-confidence. And we actually prescribe the same prescription to our Palestinian brothers and sisters.
Thank you.
Trust Allah and Allah's promise will be close.
I just would like to add like two more points to this discussion. And one already Brother Ali has mentioned, the Palestinians really need to analyze their situation over a period of time, and they need to check their past mistakes so that they can take a lesson from it and they wouldn't repeat those mistakes and would plan it better next time. And the second thing is, what I believe is one of the responsibilities is to raise their voice. To raise their voice virtually, like, on social medias and well. You know, in a span of these few years, like 5 to 10 years, it has made a really big impact. Palestinians, they're recording their videos and posting on the social media platforms. So this has made a big difference. This made people, come in their support. So they need to do something so their voices reach, across the world. Everyone hears them. So you see when on Instagram someone posts a video, you see non-Muslims commenting on that, they're criticizing Israel for oppressing them. So they need to raise their voices and they need to get active on, social media to spread the conditions what are inside the Palestinians so that, the world gets aware of it.
Thank you. So the point that you took into account that they have to raise their voice, they have to advertise, and they have to go into social medias and so on, I think my opinion is more related to the responsibility of Islamic Ummah more than be the responsibility of these Palestinian people. So up to here, you mentioned some responsibilities of these Palestinian people, like resistance, or like unity, that are so important for sure. But as you know, we have to all have our hands together to defeat the Israel and the dark side of the story. And so in this part of the episode, I want you to talk about the responsibilities of Islamic Ummah, which I think is as important as the responsibilities of Palestinian people. Yeah. So, yeah, Brother Ali.
I want to add one more point to the earlier question.
Of course,
and then is it good to add it now or no?
No, it is okay.
I'm adding one more point to the earlier question of yours, and which I will, inshallah, repeat it in the answer to the same question that you ask it now. One of the key points that Islamic Ummah, Islamic communities, and Muslims, any duty-bound Muslim should be aware of is the power or the art of knowing who the enemy is.
Yeah.
Recognize the enemy well. This is a very great art.
Very important, yeah.
So when I said that Palestinian brothers and sisters should be cautious of what is happening inside the Palestinian ummah or Palestinian communities, so they have to recognize who is their friend and who is their enemy. This is one side. But with regard to the...
I'm sorry, brotherly, for breaking it, but unfortunately, there are still many people in the world that still do not know who is the oppressor and who are the oppressed.
Exactly. Actually, they misplaced them.
Yeah.
This is the problem. That's why I was suggesting this point.
Yeah.
And I think this is not the problem of these people. I mean, this is not a matter of cautiousness. This is the fact that the oppressor wants to be hidden.
And do you know what the reason is? Because they are actually, they have dominance over the news, news
exactly.
agencies. I mean, the media of the world is at their hand, of
this is their power.
Zionism or Zionist-related powers, right?
Yeah.
So that's why, because they are working in the minds, but through media, they are working on the minds of the people.
Exactly.
So first, I suggested to the Palestinians. Second, to the Muslim Ummah, Islamic governments have their own duty to support Palestinians, either financially or
spiritually,
or even through in the form of, let's say, equipment that they are in need of.
Yeah.
It's their duty. I mean, they cannot escape from this duty that is on our shoulders.
Yes,
this is an Islamic duty that is on their shoulders.
And the least is, I feel like, verbally, you know, you show your support.
At least this is the least of thing that they can do, right? But though it is not accepted, it is the least thing that they can
do. I mean, unfortunately, even that's not to be seen.
True, yeah. Sometimes, it is not being seen from the Islamic countries and Islamic governments. They are obliged, they are forced, it is their own religious duty to support Palestinians because they are oppressed.
Yeah.
And not in case they have that courage, they can even support any oppressed person in the world, whether be it a Muslim or non-Muslim. This is their duty. Second, Palestinians, why should one side of this battle, fighting be fully equipped with different arms, weapons, different models of modern weapons, but the other side should be empty of those weapons?
Yeah.
So does it bring any responsibility for the Muslim government, Muslim countries to actually equip their brothers and sisters to at least stand to save their own lives?
Yeah.
So this is the duty to equip them with whatever they are in need of.
Thank you, dear listeners, for listening to us. It was all the time we had for today's episode. I bid you farewell. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Every day we tell each other that this day will be the last, and tomorrow we all can go home free, and all this will finally end. Palestine, tomorrow will be free. Palestine, tomorrow will be free. Father, to wipe away my tears, that's why I will cry. I feel scared, but I won't show my fears. I keep my head high, deep in my heart, I never have any doubt. The Palestine, tomorrow will be free. Palestine, tomorrow will be free.
Food for thought.
Salam, friends. And here is a saying of the Prophet's 8th infallible heir, Imam Reza, peace upon him, in honor of his noble sister, Hazrat Ma'sumah al-Fatima, peace upon her, who reposes in Qom. Paradise is the reward for the one who visits her shrine, aware of her status.
This is IRIB English Radio. Iranian news. Iranian culture. Iranian voice. www.parstoday.com/en.
It's March 30th. French riot police have fired tear gas to disperse the tense crowd of around 2,000 at the demonstration, which comes after clashes between police and water reservoir protesters in nearby Sainte-Soline. The government has deployed over 3,000 police for this demonstration alone. Protesters denounced the heavy presence of police, as well as numerous arrests. The protest near Sainte-Soline is just one out of many protests that have dogged the government of Emmanuel Macron in recent weeks. Since mid-January, the French government has been facing nationwide protests against its plans to raise the pension age by 2 years to 64. Millions of people have been demonstrating and joining strike action since then to show their opposition to Macron's plan. The protests have intensified since the government used special constitutional powers to bypass Parliament on a final vote on the pension bill.
So the French government decided yesterday to trigger what is known as the Article 49.3 of the Constitution, which is a special power the government has to force a vote, to force a reform through Parliament without a vote. That's something that's within its rights. The government can do it if it wants. Other governments in the past have done it before, but it's political dynamite. And of course, for the government, it's embarrassing because it shows that it hasn't got a majority in Parliament to pass its reforms.
The move has brought scenes of chaos reminiscent of unrest by supporters of the Yellow Vest movement during Macron's first term as president. According to the French Interior Minister Gérald Darmanin, 13,000 police had been deployed, 5,500 of them in Paris alone. The French president was supposed to have been hosting King Charles for a day of pomp and ceremony in late March, but had to cancel the state visit because of the demonstrations. On March 28th, even the Eiffel Tower, the symbol of France, closed its doors to visitors as its staff went on strike. The same day, clashes erupted between police and protesters in the western city of Nantes as public anger over pension reforms evolved into broader anti-Macron sentiment. Macron, who promised to deliver a pension system reform in his presidential campaigns, says the reform is needed to keep the country's finances in balance. Unions and opposition parties, on the other hand, say there are other ways to do that. But the problem with the Macron government is that it does not like negotiation. Meanwhile, as workers continue rolling strikes, heaps of garbage in Paris streets have become the symbol of the protests. The crisis has intensified because of controversy over policing tactics, with lawyers complaining of arbitrary arrests, injuries, and heavy-handedness during crowd control. More than 30 lawyers have recently written an open letter to Le Monde, stating their great concern over what they called arbitrary arrests of hundreds of people, accusing the police of using the judicial systems and arrests as a tactic to put people off protesting. Under the leadership of Emmanuel Macron, participating in protests in France today carries the risk of being seriously injured by rubber bullets and other dangerous weapons used by the police, a flagrant violation of human rights. Since 2018, millions of people have taken to the streets in France to demand social and economic justice. The response of the authorities has been to weaponize the law to crack down on peaceful protesters. President Macron has said he has no choice but to implement the pension reform out of economic considerations, but he has not said why he doesn't allow people to protest peacefully.
Today's special.
Assalamu alaikum.
It's special for you. We present to you today.
In the name of Allah, the Most Compassionate, the Most Merciful, dear brothers, dear sisters, Salam. So welcome. This is today's special from IRIB English Radio. And for this episode, we have an interesting topic. We're going to speak about bringing up daughter in a Muslim family.
I pray to God, my heart, soul, and body, every single day of my life, with every breath, I solemnly promise to try to live my life for you. Oh Allah, you did revive my soul and shone your light into my heart. So please, you is now my only goal. Oh, I love you so, I love you so.
And today is Monday, 2nd of Zilqada, 1444 of the Islamic Lunar Hijri calendar, corresponding to the 1st of the month of Khordad, 1402 of the Islamic Solar Hijri calendar, and the 22nd of May, 2023 of the Christian Gregorian calendar. For today, we listen and then learn about one verse of chapter Shura. Verse 49.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم لله ملك السماوات والأرض يخلق ما يشاء يهب لمن يشاء إناثا ويهب لمن يشاء الذكور.
To Allah belongs the dominion of the heavens and the earth. He creates what He wills. He gives to whom He wills female children, and He gives to whom He wills males.
La ilaha illallah, la ilaha illallah.
Bless your day with contemplation on the verses of the Holy Quran.
Ma lana rabbun siwa. Verse 49 is saying that sovereignty of the heavens and the earth solely belongs to Allah, since He is the possessor of the heavens and the earth, and the creation of the world and all creatures has been made possible through His omnipotence and omniscience, and everything is dependent upon His will. He bestows male and female offspring upon whomever He wills as per His discretion and wisdom. He may bestow male and female offspring in pairs, or many male and female offspring. It is dependent upon His wisdom and discretion that He makes some females barren and sterile. These blessed verses make a reference to divine perfect might and knowledge.
Is not the same when I'm too concerned by what they say. Why should I when I have you? To doubt you would be the worst mistake. Deep inside I know that amidst all the darkness and everything which makes no sense, I know that you exist. Guides me through my darkest nights, shows me right from wrong in a world that often lies. Cause I don't need anyone, anything in life but you. No, I don't need anyone to show me my way. No, I don't need anyone but you.
In the previous episode of today's special, we open a nice topic, the blessings of having the daughter in a Muslim family. Today, we listen to the continuation of it. Children are a blessing of Allah. While valuing this blessing, the parents should pay special attention to the upbringing and nurturing of children, because the children are like a blank paper and any type of decorative patterns can be drawn on it. The lap of a mother is the first school for the children. It is for the reason the upbringing by a mother has a very deep impact on her children.
The sacred status of motherhood demands each mother to give excellent tarbiyah, that means upbringing, to her children, especially the female children, which, with Islamic culture and civilization, moral values and moral edification, because today's young girl will be a mother tomorrow. A great scholar once said, it is incumbent upon us that we should provide Islamic education to our children and family members, teach them good things, and impart to them the education of adab, or respect, and etiquette, which is unavoidable.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, in the name of Allah, the most compassionate, the most merciful, may Allah's peace and blessings be upon the Holy Prophet of Islam, Muhammad, and his beautiful progeny. Dear brothers and sisters, today we are going to talk about the Islamic perspective in upbringing the girls and our daughters. Nothing is better for our daughters in childhood than to repeat and continuously remind them of what religious teachings are. Probably after the age of 9, when our child reaches the age of obligation, we will implement the Islamic education of girl more seriously. In this case, she may ask you why hijab will become a task for her. In this case, it is necessary to teach her based on the religious and scientific teachings that you have obtained from your studies. Learning is always better than giving advice. Hijab and chastity at the age of obligation. So what should be our strategy, and what should we touch and approach such concept? Unlike boys, who have a longer period of time to reach the age of duty, girls are required to wear hijab after the age of 9, according to the teachings of Islam. The Islamic education of a girl takes on a more serious color at this stage. If she asks you why she should always keep her hijab at this age, we suggest that you buy some books for her that are suitable for her age and the subject of the concept that you have been talking about. In this case, she learns both in her own language and by an expert why hijab and chastity are important in her age period.
IRIB English Radio presents today's special, every day for 15 minutes.
Be like the sun, shining with light. Be like a rose, spreading its fragrance in every palm.
Today's special.
Be like the earth, humble and wise. Be like the rain.
This is today's special, and in this part, we learn one thing to teach our daughter. YOLO, you only live once. In this day and age, saying yes is a form of bravery and courage. YOLO, that are the first letters of you only live once, YOLO, is a phrase that every young person knows. They want to try out new things and push limits to make sure they have lived to the fullest. Saying yes is synonymous to the one who knows how to live life. Teach your daughters that when faced with a situation where their friends want them to join in, be it to get a piercing, buying a class, or try out a beer. And saying no will make them look like a coward. Then saying no is a far braver answer than saying yes. Sometimes being brave means letting others down, and the one who goes against the grain is far more valiant than the one who follows the crowd. Teach your girls to have the wisdom to listen to the voice within and to have the courage to say it out loud. and let them know that indeed we live only once and we need to make every minute count so that we can make it to paradise. Daughters are great blessings. When a daughter was born into a family, she should be treated as a great blessing. The birth of a baby girl brings many benefits for the family, as daughters would be an important part of the society. Parents who are blessed with a daughter should bring her up well, because Allah has promised paradise to whoever raised their daughter well, to be a woman who walk in the path that please Allah, and doing everything under the purpose of seeking the blessings of Allah. Having a daughter is a great blessing for the afterlife, as not only Jannah is guaranteed by the parents, but the parents also distanced from the hellfire ever since the day she was born. Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him and his family, once said that when a daughter is born, she creates a 500 years distance between her parents and the hell.
And this is an ayat where he says, إِنَّ الْمُسْلِمِينَ وَالْمُسْلِمَاتِ وَالْمُؤْمِنِينَ وَالْمُؤْمِنَاتِ وَالْقَانِتِينَ وَالْقَانِطَاتِ وَالصَّادِقِينَ وَالصَّادِقَاتِ وَالصَّابِرِينَ وَالصَّابِرَاتِ وَالْخَاشِئِينَ وَالْخَاشِئَاتِ وَالْمُتَصَدِّقِينَ وَالْمُتَصَدِّقَاتِ وَالصَّائِمِينَ وَالصَّائِمَاتِ وَالْحَافِظِينَ فُرُوجَهُمْ وَالْحَافِظَاتِ وَالذَّاكِرِينَ اللَّهَ كَثِيرًا وَالذَّاكِرَاتِ. 10 times Allah is going back and forth. Masculine, feminine, masculine, feminine. Repeating himself again and again. Why? From the Arabic point of view, there was no need. The ayat could have been shortened, actually. Just the words, إِنَّ الْمُسْلِمِينَ وَالْمُؤْمِنِينَ وَالْقَانِتِينَ وَالصَّادِقِينَ وَالصَّابِرِينَ وَالْخَاشِعِينَ وَالْمُتَصَدِّقِينَ وَالصَّائِمِينَ وَالْحَافِظِينَ فُرُوجُهُمْ وَالذَّاكِرِينَ would have been sufficient to convey the meaning. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted to remove any ambiguity on this issue. That when it comes to fada'il of the human being, when it comes to the good qualities of a human being, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying the potential is same for male and female. And to make sure that there is no misunderstanding, you know, no male-dominated, you know, reading of Quran takes place, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala repeats it. Muslim men, Muslim women. Believing men, believing women. Obedient men, obedient women. Truthful men, truthful women. Patient and sabir male and sabir women. Khashi'een, humble men and humble women. Charitable men and charitable women. The men who fast and the women who fast. The men who exercise chastity and the women. And the men who remember Allah quite a lot and the women who do the same. أَعَدَّ اللَّهُ لَهُمْ مَغْفِرَةً وَأَجْرًا عَظِيمًا. Allah has prepared for all of them forgiveness and a great reward in the hereafter.
So So, inshallah, we continue on the next episode of today's special from IRIB English Radio, inshallah. Till then, fi amanillah.
Told me that I'm crazy, who you praying for? They told me there is nothing, who you looking for? Stop doing what you're doing, cause there is no hope. Just come with me, I'll show you what's behind your door. And they showed me all kind of lies. My eyes were locked, yes I was mesmerized. But deep inside I know that there's a better world. Cause I'm a believer. I'm a believer.
Our voice comes from the heart of beautiful Iran. IRIB English Radio.
This is IRIB English Radio. Coming up is the news.